good day, or what?
Ron. Rules of administration will come to order. We have three late bills. Well, two late bills and one resolution. Senator Youngbauer, 1770. Apparently just one late bill. Senator Youngbauer, 1770.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I have the Letter Out of Poverty Task Force bill. It seems like we've gone through every kind of iteration possible. I hope this is the latest iteration of the bill. I know the fiscal note, the final fiscal note we went through was $2,000, and when we went through Senator Cohen's committee, he said that we could absorb that as a legislature, and basically it puts together a task force to continue some of the important points of the Commission to End Poverty, and works with the legislature and some outside groups to put forth some specific issues that could continue on to help people to rise out of poverty. So that's simple. We can ask questions.
Chair, is this what they're going to call it now, Letter Out of Poverty?
Letter Out of Poverty Task Force.
Well, I had a big problem with to end poverty. We are not going to end it. It should be to reduce poverty. Now, this one I think is acceptable, but the other one I felt had no credibility at all. It made people sound like there wouldn't be any poor people in their state after you guys got through with them.
Mr. Chair, Senator Langseth, that was part of the issue as well, as we learned from that commission, came out with some good ideas on how to give people some steps to take to move up and beyond poverty, and that's what this task force would do, is take some of those recommendations, work with them, and continue that work so that we don't leave that good work lie and not move forward.
Okay.
And Senator, the $2,000 is $1,000 for each house type thing?
I wish Mr. Hubinger was here, because I don't have my file.
The LCC?
Okay. Yes. The LCC was going to absorb part of it, and the other part I'm not sure.
Is there a sunset on this?
I believe the report is due in 2012. See, we put the committee together by June 1st, 2012.
Expires 2012, or upon the submission of the report. And yep. We really need four senators, huh? Four House members.
Mr. Chair, members, I don't know if we necessarily need four senators and four House members. I don't know how that was arrived by, but we're mostly wanting to keep something intact from the commission, and moving this into the Letter Out of Poverty Task Force and do these things was.
Senator Younger, how many members of the Senate have been active in it? Do we have four senators that have been active or not?
We have had.
Who are they?
Roebling, Dill, myself, and Pappas. On the Senate side.
The Republicans and the Democrats.
What we run into is that members, we try to make these appointments, and they keep telling us, I don't want to do it, or I can't do it. You're saying you think there are four members of the Senate who want to do this?
Mr. Chair, members, I believe there are, and quite honestly, I'll use myself personally. When I got appointed to the Commission to End Poverty, I didn't think I'd be intrigued by it. I didn't think I would be engaged by the process, and I became very passionate on the issue, and have argued in front of many committees that I would be happy to serve without any per diem or compensation to make sure these kinds of things move forward, as some of my House members as well. Representative Lanning was very adamant that way, that he would drive that far to serve on something like this without any compensation, just so that he would be sure that our work we've done keeps continuing to move forward, help folks in Minnesota.
Senator Frederickson moves.
Mr. Chairman, I would. I've had a couple conversations with a couple people familiar with the work of this task force, and they impressed upon me the importance of having legislators on the task force, credibility, and the other folks show up if there are legislators there. So I would affirm the referral to the Finance Committee.
Chair,
and
Senator Youngbauer, as was mentioned, does this replace what I'll just call the John Marty Commission or group?
Mr. Chair, Senator St. John, The Commission to End Poverty has ceased to exist now, and this would take that place, that commission's place at this point. And I do, I guess I do have the copy of the fiscal note here, if anybody would like to see it.
Mr. Chairman, I guess the motion I need to make is to send the bill to the floor.
Chair, I'll just offer. I'm not going to make an amendment, but it is not easy sometimes to get members, you know.
Senator Youngbauer, for me at least, this doesn't set a precedent.
Okay.
I can't tell you how much I would prefer not to do this, but I know how strongly you and some other members feel about this. But to me, this is something that should be done as a subcommittee or something. But obviously, I'm going to support this today. But
I'll move it.
Senator Frederickson has moved
it. Okay.
But I really don't want to set a precedent here because this could go on forever. Other than just poverty. We get a big list of, we're trying to eliminate things here, and we're struggling. So on the Frederickson motion, and I was just speaking for myself. So when the newsletters all go out, I was just speaking for myself.
Mr. Chair, you are against poverty.
But Sarah Youngbauer, you have convinced me that this is a important thing to do, and it's become a good process for educating and bringing more people into the struggle.
So. Well, Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, and members, and like I said, I have become very passionate on the issue, and I think this does go beyond a lot of other things in terms of not setting a precedent, if you will, and yet moving the right kind of a task force forward. Anytime we can put people into jobs, give them a hand to help them up, you know, the ladder, as we call it, one step at a time to bring them out of poverty, it is good for all of Minnesota. And to the extent that it would be possible to do this as a subcommittee somewhere or something in the future, or if somebody has some good ideas as this hits the floor, we're very open. We just want to be sure that something in the good work of the commission doesn't lay on some shelf and gather dust.
So we have the Frederickson motion. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
Thank you so much.
Senator Hand, Senate Resolution 181.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. What I have is a resolution that is just a amendment to Senate rules. And this idea for this really came out of a joint House-Senate hearing that was held a week or a week and a half ago in education, the education committees, and seated at the hearing, at the tables usually reserved for members and staff were the Commissioner of Education and the President of the Education Minnesota organization. And there was some discussion about that and about the appropriateness of having non-Senate members and or staff being at the tables. And I understand that in the other body there was a resolution to their rules to this effect. And so I thought as a matter of consistency and decorum that we should consider this as an amendment to our rules.
Would this affect the LAC where Commissioner Hansen convenes, or the commissioner convenes, Mr. Watson, under this?
Mr. Chairman, this rule applies to the Senate and its committees, divisions, and subcommittees. A joint commission would not be governed by this rule.
Okay. Questions by members?
Senator Olson? This has been traditional practice. I mean, I think that this was kind of an unheard of and for situation to have.
Oh, it's happened occasionally in the past.
Oh, okay.
That was not official. I wasn't there, but I was told that wasn't really an official meeting. It was just kind of a gathering of interested parties. It was not a committee meeting.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've had a lot of joint House-Senate things, joint House-Senate committee meetings. No action is ever taken at those, but generally that's, it still has been for House and Senate. We've done it in a lot of committees having joint meetings. So it isn't what it wasn't just a gathering. It was announced as a kind of a joint House Senate.
But it sounds like though we would need a joint rule. Mr. Watson just said that this would not affect joint House Senate gatherings, which is fine by me. I mean, I don't think I have a problem with this rule. I mean, I've never, as a chair, wanted anybody but committee members up there, Senator Frederickson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm assuming this does not apply to the witness table, if I could use that term.
Right.
Somebody presenting to the table. You're talking specifically about the committee table where senators and Senate staff sit.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Frederickson, that's correct. And as far as a joint rule, I certainly think if the House and the Senate next year want to consider it as a change of the joint rules, they could do that. I think the House has adopted this as a provision in their rules this year, and it would be helpful if we did the same thing.
Is the why the executive branch in here?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that the idea was that when this originally was proposed by a member of the House in their body, it was just members from organizations, and there was an amendment to that to suggest it ought to apply to members of the executive branch as well, which I think is certainly appropriate. I think the idea was to preserve the table for members to be questioning or hearing testimony, and the hearing table at the end of the room would be for those presenting information. So,
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be a good idea for this to become a part of a joint rule as well, so that it would also apply to conference committee tables.
Does that happen?
It has happened in my experience. It was a while back, but I was quite appalled when it happened. Usually you consider the papers you have kind of private, and you can leave them. And we do lock doors when we aren't using the room, but occasionally there are times when people aren't at the table, and there was an incident where came up to the table, sat in a committee member's chair, and started going through the papers on the table, which I did not think was appropriate at the time.
Well, actually, I think literally this would not prevent that.
I understand that. I just said
even in just a Senate committee, this doesn't say, because this says at the committee table with members of the Senate. So if nobody's there, someone. It would be bad form, but this wouldn't prevent that. Let me just add, the executive branch, is that, I'm just trying to think, you like the executive branch in there or not? I'm just trying to think of a circumstance, Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, it does say staff of the executive branch, so if one of the constitutional officers came to a committee, this rule would be acceptable to, if they wanted to and if the committee wanted to have them sit at the table. But this says staff.
Well, it says member or staff.
It does say any member. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, usually when people come to a committee, they are testifying. They are at the podium. They're not sitting at the table. I mean, they have their role, and we have our role, and,
So let me just ask. There have been instances where governors have chosen to come down in a public forum and sit with a guess it's been House and Senate members. Governors have come and testified to committees that have been single committees. This would not prevent that. Mm-hmm. And since it's not a joint rule, it would not prevent a governor coming and sitting with House and Senate members at a meeting. What if a governor wanted to come and, I'm just asking, what if a governor wanted to come and sit with your committee in more of a collaborative style than a testifying style? Would you think that you wouldn't want that? And I'm just asking. I haven't really thought through it.
I've never seen it happen in the entire number of years I've been here. Anybody.
We had the joint circumstance where Governor Carlson sat with the leadership, but that was a joint event. Was that an official committee, or was this kind of a gathering?
It was a gathering in preparation for a special session.
Yes, I remember that.
And this wouldn't prevent that.
It doesn't prevent people from having conversations, but when you're in an official meeting capacity, it's...
Could a committee, I'm just trying to be thorough here, right? Could a committee suspend Rule 12.12 on their own, or if this was a rule of the Senate, would take the full body to it? Which we could do.
Just come for it.
Tech Conference Committee. Chair, committee sits. Yeah, the Tax Conference Committee, they sit, the conferees sit in the middle. And then around in Room 15, the commissioner, everybody sits. Would that prevent that? Because the committee table in that instance is this square table in the middle.
And Mr. Chair, isn't your testifier's table
testifier
still...
Testifier table here.
Because in most places, if somebody wants to participate, like a commissioner, et cetera, they sit at the testifier's committee, but you're right, the tax...
But we literally, right, in tax conference, the commissioner has a designated seat right there, but that is not the committee table.
Taxes must be more important than other things, because we've never...
It's the way the room is set up.
I understand.
We used to sit on that.
Okay.
Okay.
I just have never seen a place for a commissioner in other conference committees. Maybe it should start happening.
Senator Sunjum?
Mr. Chair, I wonder, and maybe Peter Watson next to me can help me. What is a official proceeding of a committee? Would that be one, for instance, where votes were maybe taken? Or is it broader than that? And let me just say, the base of my question, if we go on these bonding trips and, you know, we get back and Senator Lang says, well, we had 144 hearings, and it gets kind of casual out there. And there are probably lobbyists that sit at the table and so on. Would something like that, for instance, be a official committee proceeding? Or it doesn't even say, yeah, I guess it doesn't say official.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sunjum, the language is not clear. What do you want it to be?
Okay.
You would like to not prevent that?
Of course not. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Senator Sunjum, if you said that during meetings of committees of the Senate, then you would pick up the language as to what is a meeting that has to be open.
I'm getting a little in the weeds, but, a couple of years ago, we went to Moorhead and had a... It was during the, we got to get more information phase of that session. And so we had all these meetings around out-state Minnesota. Tax committee went up there. I know there was something in Rochester. And,
we didn't have anybody else at the table.
We never had anybody.
Well, maybe not. I don't remember.
But the bonding committee one is... Well, what... Senator Hand, maybe, I don't know, would that work to put official meetings of the committees, which then gets you to your open meeting law? Is that, Mr. Watson, is that what you're saying?
Right.
That seems like a relatively smart thing to do. Senator Clark?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Watson, so what would the difference between a meeting and a hearing?
Or proceedings.
That would be a question, because I'm not on the bonding committee, certainly have been around a number of these meetings that have been called hearings, and I'm not sure they ever, I don't know that they gavel it down, but their formal taking of information. Maybe that's what's different. I don't know if, and I don't know that you would say that there wasn't official business done there, but it's an information gathering. So I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know that this would help. Do you limit it to proceedings at the Capitol or at the state office building, or would that get around the bonding?
I was actually thinking whether or not, you know, at the Capitol.
The Capitol, but this particular joint, I'm not even sure it was an official meeting, in all honesty, I'm not sure it was an official meeting. And I walked in and was a little surprised myself with both of them. And I thought, well, okay, they're getting stakeholders together. Maybe this is a good thing. But I wasn't sure that it was official or if it was, because we had a joint meeting, but we don't have joint committees, so it isn't a joint committee. So was that official or not? And does this actually get to what you're talking about? Because I'm not sure it was official. It is unclear, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Mr. Chairman, interestingly enough, that meeting probably had one of the better attendances of both
Capitol or state office building,
both the House and the Senate, and it was really quite. It was unorthodox, but whether you have official proceedings or meetings. It would give guidance to people. I think of all of the hearings that I've been to around the state, we still have had staff and committee members sitting in one place because we're there to listen to those. And where? How would you start to pick if you're going to let some official from that area join you at the table? It's you've got such flexibility in how you arrange rooms and seating that it is there's no great difficulty to have the ones who are there to hear, to have that just one step removed from those who are there for us to listen to.
Well, a mayor would not be covered by this. I was thinking of a local dignitary. A mayor would not be covered.
Well, they lobbyist principal. They might be principal of an organization that has a lobbyist.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think unless this says, I think that most of our communities don't actually have lobbyists in this sense of the word. So,
no, they maybe not have that specifically, but most of them are members of the League of Cities.
Olson, I think you'd have to change the language here to include that. And then you probably have to say, it gets kind of, that's why I was wondering if it's like a more locational. I mean, could we say at meetings or proceedings in the Capitol or state office building, or maybe Mr. Watson could tell us the Capitol says. I mean, I don't know that that's also right because.
They voted.
Oh, Mr. Chairman?
Right. But I thought maybe they were trying to get it here.
If we did put this in place, we're just about to go signy day. We're not going to be having a lot of official hearings between now and the next year when the next legislature is dealing with rules. You may want to revisit this. But I think it puts something there that is at least focused on what is primarily what we normally think of as our hearing business and not all of the wanderings around the state. If somebody wants to deal with how we might deal with that in other kinds of venues, I think that's another subject or another needs some additional wording, and I don't know that we need to grapple with all of that when we're almost done with this session.
Does somebody want to move on 1-8?
I will
strike proceedings and put meeting.
I will move that.
Or should it be an official meeting of the committee? Mr. Watson, what's the proper syntax that?
Singular would be better.
So what would Senator Olson like to offer?
During an official meeting?
Of a committee.
Of a committee.
Of a committee of the Senate.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Senator Olson offers that. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
And then I would move the
chairman.
I'd like to go back to a member of the executive being prohibited. I would like this to say just to prohibit staff members. So if a governor or a lieutenant governor was invited to a meeting, it would be up to the chair whether or not they invited the governor to come sit with us and hear the testimony or whatever, or whether they want the governor to sit, you know, somewhere else. I think that'd be a matter of courtesy.
Mr. Chairman, I'm amenable to the direction the committee wants to take.
Senator Fredrickson?
So, Chairman, I think we could accomplish that on line 6, delete member R, and after staff, insert member. Mr. Watson, would that do it?
To that point, Mr. Chair.
So it would read?
No Senate committee, division, or subcommittee shall permit any staff member of the executive branch, registered lobbyist, or lobbyist principal.
Senator Olson.
Chair, then are commissioners regarded not as a member of the executive branch, they're a the staff member?
They're staff of the executive
branch. Okay, that's fine.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Clark.
I think that's actually an important addition because we have attempted to try to have some public conversations and I think with the current governor. And if in the future, whether it's a former or a current one, I think it's a good idea to be making sure they're feeling like they're part of the activity as opposed to separated from.
Different governors have had different policies there. Some have chosen the policy that Governor Plenty has and others have chosen to come and visit.
Yes,
it goes. It can go both ways.
Right, but if they choose to visit, my yep. point only is you'd rather not alienate them.
So we have the Fredrickson motion before us.
The meeting that brought this all up, it was the Commissioner of Education who was at the table. And this amendment would say it was okay for the Commissioner of Education to be at the table. Is
no.
that correct?
No. No. This would strike that staff. Staff of the executive branch would not
is
be allowed.
Is the commissioner a staff member or are they a member?
Yeah, but she's a staff member. She's not.
That's who we're prohibiting.
Shall permit any staff of the executive
no,
branch.
No Senate committee shall permit.
The issue wasn't really with the commissioner. The issue was with registered lobbyists. Mm-hmm. Or lobbyist principles.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, I think originally that was the idea, but I think there was a sense that out of if the idea is to try to set some standard of decorum and appropriateness, then we ought to try to do it okay. without saying just this group, but all groups.
So, Mr. Weiler, Watson.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't we in other contexts talk about any official or employee or officer or employee, because you're wanting to catch both the person in charge and anybody who works for the department, right?
Aren't they staff?
I'm not sure whether you would call the commissioner of a state agency a staff person.
Mr. Chairman, that was my question.
Okay.
Is the commissioner a member of the executive branch, or are they a staff member of the executive branch?
So,
that was my question,
Mr. Watson. What,
Mr. Chairman, if you say both member or staff, then maybe you're covering anybody, everybody.
Well, then that would rule out the governor, and he's trying to leave the constitutional officers separate from anything below that staff, I think you're considering commissioners as staff.
Staff, yes.
And is that, I just wanted to be, is that clear that the commissioners are staff, they're not a member of the executive branch?
Any appointed officer or employee?
That's good.
That would work. Senator Olson moves. How would it read?
This would be deleting member or staff and insert any appointed officer or employee.
Of the executive branch.
Yeah.
Okay. So Senator Olson moves that. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted. Okay. Senator Berglund, you showed quite a bit of enthusiasm for this. Do you want to move this?
No, let it go ahead.
I was kind of like, okay. Senator Berglund moves that Senate resolution. Now, this would have to be adopted on the Senate floor, or are we actually
yes.
putting this in the rules now? Okay.
To the floor.
Okay, that Senate resolution 181 be recommended to pass.
As amended.
As amended. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Mm-hmm. Case Senator Scheid, 3361. What is the situation with that bill? That's a late bill. Ms. Campbell, could you just join us? Senator Scheid's not here. Does somebody know why this is? Oh, Senator Limmer. Senator Limmer, why? What's our situation here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the bill before you
Senate File 3361 is in regards to a new outbreak in real estate practice that's being seen all over the nation. It was recently discovered at a Realtor National Convention where it was disclosed to the real estate industry, especially with those attending are the lobbyists for the Board of Realtors. And the private transfer fee is a new element to real estate transactions that's suddenly invading around the country all transactions. Basically what it is a developer or a builder will attach a lien on the title, but it follows the property. So every time there's a sale for the next 99 years, there would be a fee transaction given back to the original developer. It clearly is a questionable business practice, and that's why there was an urgency to bring it forward at this late time.
And it was fairly broadly supported in the committee.
I don't think there was anyone opposing it. It was a proposal that was extremely well vetted in the committee as well.
And is this going anywhere else or to the floor?
I believe it goes directly to the floor.
Okay. Proper motion, Mr. Watson, is to adopt the committee report?
Yes.
So Senator Fredrickson moves that adoption of Senate File 3361's previous committee report. Discussion? Anybody want to testify? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion adopted. Members, there's one other item.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Senator Limmer. Senate File something. 3398, which is a Senator Rest, Senator Gerlach concoction. We do not have the proper thing.
Well, we have. Oh, maybe it's in the back.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Doing a little pinch hitting here for Senator Rest, much like Senator Sieben did today on the floor of the conference report. She's out of town, and so with the timeliness of this, she asked if I, as a co-author, who worked with her closely on this bill, would present this as well. And Senator Lori is here as well as one of our co-authors. And members, I understand that you're mostly interested in what's the status of this, why is it late, and what do we need to do with this. This bill is a legislative response to the Supreme Court case of Citizens United. And this, as you know, our committee has done a lot of work this session on elections-related bills with the absentee ballots, election administration, early primary, all of those issues we had been working on extensively going back to last summer and then certainly this spring. Well, this is an issue that popped up on our radar screen in January-February timeframe, and it took some time to get our hands around, and it is a very significant issue that impacts a lot, and we wanted to make sure that we had a legislative response so that it did not just get punted to the courts or to the executive branch. And the bill before you needs to go to finance, where it has a fiscal note of $3,000. And then my understanding is that it would go to, correct me if I'm wrong, but then it would go to the floor. So this is this bill was heard, obviously, in the state and local government full committee just time is flying here, and it's blurring together. Was it yesterday morning? Yesterday morning. And so that is the situation, and I'm certainly willing to talk about any of the details of the bill if any member should need that.
Okay, I don't think that would be necessary. It's a very complex issue. I'm just wondering, is it scheduled in finance yet, or when are they willing to take it up? Do you know?
We don't know, Mr. Chairman, but...
What I was thinking about was this is a really kind of important issue, and I was thinking maybe the Rules Committee would want to think about the details of it. But I think let's have it. I, think let's let it go to finance. If it gets through finance, mm-hmm. we can always make a motion to bring it to rules if necessary. Mm-hmm. I've been through quite a few meetings on the complexity of all this, and it's a challenging.
Very much so.
Challenging issue, but it's also important. Very.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, some people have seen my colored diagrams of page after page of circles and arrows in trying to decode on what the flow of things going and how we disclose all those pieces. So you're
sorry, correct. Mr. Chair, two-thirds of this committee are on finance.
Correct. There's only, I think there's only one three. Person not on finance here.
You, Senator Clark, and Senator Bach.
Exactly, yeah, and Bach. So I think I've got a good enough relationship with the author that the Rules Committee felt it was necessary, we could get it back here if we had to. So, Senator Frederickson moves that.
Mr. Chairman, what you're acting on is the committee report, okay. which is about halfway through the file of papers, so it would be a motion to adopt the previous committee report.
So, Senator Frederickson moves to adopt the previous committee report at 3398, which in effect sends it to the finance. And good luck down there. on that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Okay, thank you, members.
Thank you.
Senator Gerlach, thank you so much. Thank you.